listening to CPR, communitypublicradio.org. And this is Weekday World. I'm your host, Don DeBar. With a report of some of the news and events of the past 24 hours from the CPR Newsroom. From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
It's official. The House has a new speaker.
If the gentlewoman from California would please raise her right hand, which you're doing. Do you solemnly swear that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that you will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that you take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that you will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which you're about to enter, so help you God.
I do.
Congratulations, Madam Speaker.
78-year-old Nancy Pelosi will serve again as Speaker of the House, a position she held from 2007 to 2011. Despite rumblings over the past few months about possible challenges to her candidacy, she faced no serious challenge. Meanwhile, President Trump walked into the White House press conference on Thursday, and he had some words for the new Speaker.
I just want to start off by congratulating Nancy Pelosi on being elected Speaker of the House. It's a very, very great achievement. And hopefully we're going to work together and we're going to get lots of things done, like infrastructure and so much more. I know they want to do that very badly, so do I. So hopefully we're going to have a lot of things that we can get done together. And I think it's actually going to work out. I think it'll be a little bit different than a lot of people are thinking. So I congratulate Nancy. Tremendous, tremendous achievement.
A first in space for the People's Republic of China. The first soft landing on the far side of the moon. Elaine Reyes from China's global television network spoke with Leroy Chow about the Chang 4 probe, the first ever to make a soft landing on the far side of the moon. He's a former NASA astronaut and International Space Station commander.
This is really a fantastic event because this is the very first time that China has achieved something in space that nobody else has, landing an actual rover on the far side of the moon. And not only that, but also establishing a communications relay satellite in the halo orbit around the moon to relay commands and communications between the spacecraft and back to the Earth to the control center. So it's really great, wonderful achievement. I was happy to see the mission launch way back when, and now to see it actually successfully land and start its mission, it's a very exciting time.
Yeah, as you mentioned, there had to be a couple of successful steps before the successful landing, but we've seen some of the first images. What have we learned from these first photos? Is there anything that's caught your attention so far?
Well, it's the first time we've seen really close-up images of the far side of the moon. As I understand it, the far side is different than the side that we see from the Earth in that there are more craters, but the craters seem to be a little smaller. Also, the structure is apparently different. And one of the instruments on board the spacecraft is a ground-penetrating radar system that will map underground and the surface and underground of the area there, and that will give us some clues about the structure of the moon and perhaps even of the structure of our solar system.
We talked about the larger goal is to collect samples from the far side. What will you be watching for with this mission in the weeks and months ahead?
Well, I think all of the scientific investigations are going to be interesting beyond the ground-penetrating radar. Of course, there's going to be some radio astronomy observations that would not be possible otherwise because being on the far side of the moon, all the radio transmissions from the Earth are blocked, enabling the spacecraft to actually do some very sensitive measurements looking into deep space. There's some plant experiments on board. That's going to be interesting to see if the gravity-sensing organs of these plants, which enable the roots to grow down into the soil, will actually work in about the 1/6 gravity of the moon. And of course, you mentioned the sample return. That will be very, very interesting as well.
After the failure last year of yet another attempt to incite a coup in Nicaragua, the U.S. is now attempting to use the Organization of American States to seek the removal of the elected government there. Article 20 of the Inter-American Democratic Charter authorizes consideration of the internal affairs of member nations only, quote, in the event of an unconstitutional alteration of the constitutional regime that seriously impairs the democratic order in a member state, close quote. The attempt at the OAS follows the president's signing of the so-called NECA Act on December 20th, which had passed unanimously in both houses of Congress. NECA was initially proposed by Florida Representative Ileana Ross-Lehtinen, with amendments by Republican Senators Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, and Democratic Senator Bob Menendez. The act requires that within 120 days after approval, the Secretary of State present to Congress a report on the participation of senior officials of the government of Nicaragua in human rights violations, significant acts of corruption, and money laundering. It specifically targets members of the Supreme Electoral Council, the National Assembly, and the judicial system. Nicaragua's sitting government was duly elected in open elections under international monitoring. All reports were that the elections were free and fair. The current president, Daniel Ortega, won by more than 72% in the 2016 election. A poll of the National Assembly shows similarly strong support at 65% and more for the majority Sandinista party. The constitutional order remains in effect. Nevertheless, this past December 28th, the U.S., through the Secretary General of the OAS, Luis Almagro, requested an urgent meeting of the Permanent Council with the purpose of acting under Article 20, claiming that there had been an alteration of the constitutional order. That move was condemned by a number of regional governments. Telesur's Soini Gray has more.
Venezuela has issued a statement categorically rejecting the decision of the OAS Secretary General in seeking to initiate the application of the Inter-American Democratic Charter on Nicaragua. Such a measure would potentially pave the way for legal sanctions against the Nicaraguan government. The communique reads that the OAS head, Luis Almagro, has once again demonstrated his subservience to U.S. interests and continues to use the Organization of American States as an instrument against popular governments. Also, Evo Morales condemned the OAS decision on his personal Twitter account. He tweeted, "We reject that on instruction of the empire and with coup intentions, the intent to apply the democratic charter in Nicaragua. You cannot go against the self-determination of peoples. The organisms must respect the sovereignty of Nicaragua." This, of course, follows a statement earlier in the week by the ALBA TCP countries, which rejected the application of unilateral U.S. sanctions against Nicaragua.
U.S. National Security Advisor John Bolton included Venezuela and Nicaragua in what he called late last year a troika of tyranny. He also included Cuba in the group when he announced new sanctions against all three.
The troika of tyranny in this hemisphere, Cuba, Venezuela, and Nicaragua, has finally met its match. They worship a false god. We know their day of reckoning awaits. The Nicaraguan regime, like Venezuela and Cuba, will feel the full weight of America's robust sanctions regime. We will no longer appease dictators and despots near our shores.
Nicaragua has apparently occupied a special place in Bolton's heart for decades. He's been trying to undo the 1979 revolution since he was a Reagan administration official, deeply involved, according to many sources, in the Iran-Contra affair. That was where the Reagan administration was caught running cocaine into the U.S. to pay for guns for anti-government forces fighting Nicaragua's government after Congress had cut off funds. We discussed the latest moves by the U.S. at the Organization of American States with the Foreign Minister of Nicaragua, Dennis Moncada, via Skype from Managua Wednesday.
If we could start out, sir, by just detailing the case that's being made at the OAS and some of the process surrounding it. That would be beginning with the December 28th communication from Secretary General Almagro of the OAS, where he's seeking to invoke Article 20 of the Democratic Charter, which rests on essentially an assumption that there's been some violation of the constitutional order in Nicaragua.
Es violatorio de la propia carta de la OEA.
Is a violation of the Organization of American States chart.
De la carta interamericana.
The Inter-American Democratic Chart.
Y de la carta de la ONU.
And also the United Nations chart.
Y del derecho internacional, de los principios y fundamentos del derecho internacional.
And the principles and fundamentals of international law.
Por eso es que realmente es inaceptable.
That is why it is unacceptable.
Es ilegal.
Is illegal.
La intención y la petición de Almagro de convocar al Consejo con esos fines.
The intention and request of Mr. Almagro to make a convocation of the Council for these purposes.
Almagro intenta arrastrar a los gobiernos.
Trying to drag to the governments.
De los países de este hemisferio.
Of the countries of this hemisphere.
A una acción injusta,
to an unrighteous action,
violatoria del derecho internacional,
in violation of international rights,
violatoria de las cartas de la OEA y de la ONU,
violation of the Organization of American States chart, the United Nations chart,
e ignora,
and he is ignoring,
el consentimiento del Estado afectado,
the consent of the affected state,
para que la OEA analice.
So in order that the Organization of American States can analyze or discuss
sobre sus asuntos internos,
about its internal affairs.
Por eso nosotros enviamos una carta a las hermanas cancilleres y cancilleres de América Latina y el Caribe.
That is why we sent a letter to all the ministers of foreign affairs of Latin America and the Caribbean.
Solicitándoles que no apoyen esa petición de Almagro.
Requesting to not support this request of Mr. Almagro.
Porque afecta al pueblo, al gobierno y a la nación nicaragüense.
Because it is affecting to the government and the people and the nation of Nicaragua.
Es ilegal.
It is illegal.
Ilegítima.
Illegitimate.
Y no puede ser admitida.
And cannot be admitted.
Por eso Nicaragua solicita el apoyo
that
de los gobiernos.
Right. Nicaragua is requesting the support of the governments
para poner un alto
to put a stop
a las actuaciones injerencistas,
to the injerencism actions,
intervencionistas,
interventionist actions,
irrespetuosas,
and without respect on
de la soberanía y de la independencia de Nicaragua,
sovereignty and independence of Nicaragua,
que ha impulsado el secretario general Luis Almagro.
That the secretary general Luis Almagro has been trying to push.
Article 20 of the Democratic Charter requires a fact of interference with the constitutional order or a breaking of the constitutional order in order for it to empower the OAS. What factual allegation have they made on that point?
Entonces, el artículo 20 de la Carta Democrática Interamericana dice que se requiere que haya como condición un rompimiento del orden constitucional. ¿En qué bases ellos alegan que ha ocurrido esta situación de un rompimiento del orden constitucional?
Probablemente la base sea la del absurdo.
Probably the base is the absurd.
La irracionalidad.
Irrationality.
Y por otro lado, el señor Almagro.
On the other hand, Mr. Almagro.
Actúa como un agente directo del Imperio Norteamericano.
Acting as a direct agent of North American Empire.
Esa es la explicación que se puede tener.
That is the explaining that we can have.
Para el marcado interés que ha expresado Almagro.
For the accentuated interest that Almagro has expressed.
Por afectar al pueblo y al gobierno de Nicaragua.
For affecting the people and government of Nicaragua.
No tiene ningún fundamento legal.
They don't have any legal fundamentation or base.
Ni legítimo.
It is not legitimate.
Ni razonable.
It is not reasonable.
There have been removal of governments across the region, Honduras, Paraguay, Brazil. And the OAS has not taken action in any of those cases. Looking at Brazil, for example, Temer had 2% popularity when he left office. President Ortega enjoys 75%, perhaps, popularity. Why would they justify doing it here and not there?
Entonces vimos que hubo casos similares en Paraguay y Brasil, pero no se aplicó este artículo 20, pero en el caso de Nicaragua, ¿por qué se lo quieren aplicar al presidente Ortega, que ha tenido una popularidad de alrededor del 75%? ¿Qué es lo que ellos alegan para aplicar esto a Nicaragua?
Nuestro gobierno ha tenido un desarrollo de sus políticas económicas sociales positivas y así ha sido reconocido por los organismos internacionales.
Our government has had a economic social development which has been very positive and it has been acknowledged by other governments.
En estos 10 años, el gobierno del presidente Daniel Ortega.
In these 10 years, the government of President Daniel Ortega
ha llevado a la práctica.
Has carried out
políticas socioeconómicas incluyentes.
Social economic policies that are very including.
De beneficio de las grandes mayorías nicaragüenses.
And benefit of the big majorities of Nicaraguans.
Que históricamente han estado marginados.
That historically have been marginated.
Hemos tenido una economía, una macroeconomía con desarrollo que ha fluctuado entre 4.7, 5, 5.2.
We have had a macroeconomic development and the economy has fluctuated between 4.7 or 5 or 5.7% of economic growth.
Hemos tenido niveles de seguridad en Nicaragua que han sido reconocidos también por organismos internacionales sobre la materia.
We have had citizen security levels that have been even acknowledged by other governments in this aspect.
Al día de hoy tenemos por encima del 95% de cobertura de luz eléctrica de nuestra población.
And nowadays, we have a coverage of 95% of energetic coverage in the nation.
Estamos transformando la matriz energética con energía limpia.
The energy matrix with clean energy.
En protección del medio ambiente.
In protection of the environment.
Estamos en el quinto lugar a nivel mundial de política de equidad e igualdad de género.
We are in the fifth place worldwide in the policies of equity and in gender.
Hemos desarrollado políticas de alianza, diálogo y consenso.
We have developed policies of alliance, dialogue, and consensus.
Público-privado.
Between the public and private sector.
Involucrando a los trabajadores, el Estado, la empresa privada.
Involving the workers, the states, and the private enterprise.
Que ha dado buenos resultados en Nicaragua.
Which has produced very good results in Nicaragua.
Con el paréntesis que la situación actual está planteando.
With the parenthesis that the current situation is presenting.
Ese gobierno, ese buen gobierno del presidente Daniel Ortega.
That good government of President Daniel Ortega.
No es bien visto por el imperio norteamericano.
Is not seen positively by the North American Empire.
Y por eso es que hemos visto cómo se organizó.
That is why we have seen how it was organized.
Y se puso en práctica.
And put into practice.
Un intento de golpe de estado.
An intent of coup d'etat.
Que comenzó con bloqueo a las comunicaciones.
That started with blocking the communications.
En carreteras.
In the highways.
Calles.
Streets.
Ciudades.
Cities.
Impidiendo el libre acceso y movilidad de la población.
Impeding the free access and mobility of the population.
De la transportación en la región centroamericana.
Central American region,
en el intercambio comercial.
The commercial exchange.
En secuestros masivos.
And also massive kidnappings.
Grandes sectores de la población nicaragüense fue hecha rehén.
Great part of the population, a big part of the population in Nicaragua was made rehén.
Cautiva.
They were kept captives.
Se cometieron muchos crímenes.
A lot of crimes were committed.
Y muchos actos de terrorismo.
A lot of terrorism actions.
Esa fue la primera fase del golpe de estado.
That was the first phase of the coup d'etat.
Continuó con diálogos que quedaron congelados.
Then it continued with dialogue that were frozen.
Con la presencia de organismos internacionales.
With the presence of international organizations.
Que tienen un guión sincronizado.
That have a synchronized script.
Para tratar de deslegitimar y desprestigiar.
To try to delegitimate, to disprestigiate.
Al gobierno legítimo del presidente Ortega.
The legitimate government of President Ortega.
Y continúan ahora en el ámbito internacional.
And now they continue in the international aspect or arena.
Moviéndose en la OEA y en otros organismos.
Moving in the Organization of American States and other organizations.
Con esos mismos objetivos.
With the same objectives.
Eso es lo que pretende Almagro, continuar.
That is what Almagro is trying to continue.
Con el intento de golpe de estado.
With the intent of coup d'etat.
En este caso, proyectándolo en el ámbito internacional y en la OEA.
In this case, projecting it in the international level and the Organization of American States.
So what venue would, if there's an adverse finding, first of all, when is that finding expected? And then is there an external venue to go to, the United Nations Security Council or The Hague or whatever?
Entonces, ¿cuál era el resultado esperado de ellos y qué es lo que pensaban o lo que intentaban hacer en el Consejo de Seguridad de las Naciones Unidas?
El Consejo de Seguridad de las Naciones Unidas.
And the Security Council of the United Nations.
Forma parte.
It is part.
De las acciones en el ámbito internacional.
Part of the actions in the international level.
Para deslegitimar.
To try to delegitimize.
Y justificar las medidas de bloqueo.
And to justify the blockade measures.
Contra el gobierno y el pueblo de Nicaragua.
Against the government and people of Nicaragua.
Y sumarle.
And to add.
Precisamente a las mismas acciones de Almagro.
Precisely
para
to the same measures of Almagro.
Tratar de justificar.
To try to justify.
Medidas de bloqueo. Medidas económicas.
Economical measures,
medidas unilaterales,
unilateral measures,
rechazables desde todo punto de vista,
that we reject in every aspect,
para justificar,
to justify,
o tratar de justificar,
or try to justify,
la sustitución,
the substitution,
ilegal,
illegal substitution.
Inconstitutional.
Inconstitutional substitution.
Y violatoria del derecho internacional.
In violation of the international law.
Del gobierno constitucional.
Of the constitutional
legal,
government. Legal.
Legítimo.
Legitimate.
Y reconocido internacionalmente.
Internationally recognized government.
Del presidente Daniel Ortega.
Of President Daniel Ortega.
What can people do, or what should people do to guarantee that the outcome of all of these processes are respectful of the opinions of the people of Nicaragua?
¿Qué puede hacer la gente para garantizar que el resultado que se espera sea en beneficio de la población de Nicaragua o del pueblo de Nicaragua?
Nosotros estamos precisamente por eso con nuestros embajadores.
We are precisely with our ambassadors.
En los organismos y en los diferentes países.
And different international organizations and different countries.
Y mediante la comunicación que hemos desarrollado también con los cancilleres.
And also through the communication that we have developed with the foreign ministers.
Detener esas acciones.
To stop these actions.
Ilegales.
These illegal actions.
Ilegítimas.
Illegitimate.
Y violatorias del derecho internacional.
In violation of international law.
Nuestro país.
Our country.
El Estado.
The state.
Las instituciones estatales y gubernamentales en Nicaragua.
The states and government institutions in Nicaragua.
Continuamos en nuestras actividades normales.
We continue in our normal activities.
La defensa del gobierno y del pueblo nicaragüense.
The defense of the government and the people of Nicaragua.
La realizamos los nicaragüenses con el sentido de dignidad.
We as Nicaraguans are doing it with a sense of dignity.
De patriotismo.
Patriotism.
De defensa de los intereses de nuestro país.
Of the interests of our country.
Y acudimos al apoyo internacional.
And also we accede to the international support.
Para evitar que se sienten precedentes negativos.
To avoid to have these negative precedents.
De violentar la institucionalidad.
Of violating the institutionality.
Y la dinámica democracia de los países.
And the dynamic democracy of the countries.
Con acciones.
With actions.
A la inversa de la Carta Interamericana.
Contrary to the Inter-American Democratic Charter.
Como es lo que quiere implementar o hacer el señor Almagro.
Which is trying to implement or to do Mr. Almagro.
In the UN Security Council, Russia and China would have the right to veto any authorization of armed force against Nicaragua, which could be a possible direction of the process. The U.S. can veto discussion of any matters, or France or the U.K. Will it end up stalemate at the UN Security Council?
Se dice que en el Consejo de Seguridad de las Naciones Unidas, Rusia y China tienen poder de veto para cualquier decisión. Entonces, ¿cómo se visualiza el escenario en este caso? Pues que se llevar al Consejo de Seguridad de las Naciones Unidas y que si hay posibilidad pues, de veto de Rusia y de China, aunque por otro lado pues está Reino Unido. ¿Qué tal?
La situación de Nicaragua no justifica.
The situation of Nicaragua does not justify
que sea llevado al Consejo de Seguridad de las Naciones Unidas.
That the case is taken to the Security Council of the United Nations.
No representamos ningún peligro.
We do not represent any danger
a la paz y a la seguridad internacional.
To the international peace and security.
El tema de Nicaragua debe ser resuelto por los nicaragüenses.
The aspects or the problems of Nicaragua have to be resolved by the Nicaraguans.
Y si estamos demandando que no se continúe discutiendo en la OEA.
And if we are demanding to not continue discussing in the Organization of American States.
Sobre nuestros asuntos internos.
About our internal affairs.
Y mucho menos que se aplique el artículo 20 de la Carta Democrática Interamericana.
And much less to apply the article 20 of the Inter-American Democratic Charter.
Con mucha más razón nos parece que no tiene sentido, que sería irracional.
With all the more, we consider that it doesn't have any sense or it is irrational.
Que no cabría que se intente de nuevo llevar el caso de Nicaragua.
To try again to take the case of Nicaragua.
Al seno del Consejo de Seguridad de las Naciones Unidas.
To the Security Council of the United Nations.
Okay. And I guess, finally, is there any kind of parallel process going on at UNASUR or, you know, some of the other multilateral organizations, but particularly UNASUR?
Y quisiera que nos mencionara un poco sobre UNASUR o cómo están las relaciones con organizaciones multilaterales como UNASUR.
Sí. Nicaragua siempre está abierta a las relaciones bilaterales y multilaterales.
Nicaragua is always open to bilateral and multilateral relations.
Relaciones basadas en la fraternidad, en la solidaridad,
on fraternity, solidarity,
y en la igualdad soberana de los estados.
And sovereign equality of the states.
Siempre estamos abiertos y continuamos trabajando en fortalecer las relaciones.
We are always open and we continue to work in the strengthening of the relations.
Con las organizaciones como CELAC.
With the organizations such as CELAC.
ALBA, TCP.
ALBA, TCP.
Y también con las organizaciones del sur.
And also the south organizations.
So, I was just curious though, is there going to be a defense, perhaps, in some of those forums?
Entonces, yo solamente tenía la curiosidad de ver si había alguna defensa en alguno de esos foros o alguna acción que se hubiera tomado en alguno de estos foros multilaterales.
No, lo que estamos por el momento haciendo es
what we are doing right now,
circulando
is to circulate
nuestras comunicaciones
communications
a todos los organismos internacionales.
All the international organizations.
Understood. De América.
Latin America.
De Latinoamérica. Eso implica América del Norte, Centroamérica.
North America,
Suramérica.
South America.
Y también de la Unión Europea.
And also the European Union.
Thank you very much.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.
Hello and welcome to Crosstalk, where all things are considered. I'm Peter Lavelle. Has the media become unhinged in the era of Trump? The president's most ardent critics in the media hang on his every word. News cycle after news cycle are all about Trump, and much of this coverage is negative. Has journalism lost its purpose? Are journalists now nothing more than ideological advocates? Crosstalking the media, I'm joined by my guest, Charles Ortel in New York. He is a private investor and a writer, as well as host of the podcast show Sunday with Charles. Also in New York, we have Joe Concha. He is a media reporter for The Hill. And in Nashville, we cross to Roger L. Simon. He is an award-winning novelist and Academy Award-nominated screenwriter, as well as co-founder and CEO emeritus of PJ Media. All right, gentlemen, Crosstalk rules in effect. That means you can jump in anytime you want, and I always appreciate it. Joe, let me go to you first here. I guess I can pick the easiest example, the dueling match we saw with Jim Acosta and President Trump here. I mean, what is the state of journalism? I mean, I'm not letting either guy off the hook, at least at this point here. But what does that tell us about journalism today?
Journalism today, I would say, has become a matter of many more opinions being put into reporting, which is leading to mistrust by viewers and by audiences. And Jim Acosta is a good example of that. Jim openly debates the president on certain issues. He takes a side and then decides to become the captain of the debate team during press briefings like we saw last week. It eventually becomes a confrontation where after every press briefing, whether it be with White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders or with the president himself, the story becomes Jim Acosta and Donald Trump in terms of the confrontation, in terms of actual information that may benefit the American people as far as what the president is doing, his administration is doing. So last week is a perfect example. The president took 68 questions from 35 reporters. That's about an average of two per reporter. For whatever reason, Mr. Acosta felt he was entitled to ask four questions. And when asked to give up a microphone when the president wanted to move on, he held on to it like a three-year-old does a lollipop when you tell him that it's time to give up the candy. So I think that's the state of journalism today, where we have too many opinions being injected into actual reporting. And that's a problem, because you're supposed to report facts as a White House correspondent and not offer your feelings up on a particular topic.
Yeah, very well said. You know, Charles, you know, CNN says facts first. But I mean, CNN now is synonymous for a brand that says Trump is a liar. I mean, that's it. I mean, I can't understand how what few viewers they have left actually continue to watch it, because I don't care what Trump is doing every second of the day. Twitter is more than enough. Go ahead, Charles.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I think the show, which is modestly amusing, Ancient Aliens, is getting more viewers than CNN. I mean, if you want to hear anti-Trump propaganda, you know where to go. If you want to tune into the White House press briefing, you'd like to see the many fine journalists, and there are fine journalists in the White House press corps, get a chance to ask questions and elicit facts. We're not interested in the news, those reporters' opinions. We're interested in getting facts. And I thought journalism's, and I'm not a journalist, but I thought the goal of journalists was to report facts as news to a wide viewership. And I think increasingly more and more people are turned off to this approach, and that's why they're going to alternative formats. And that's why I think CNN and MSNBC and others like them are in serious jeopardy.
You know, Roger, one of the things that I look at, and we've mentioned CNN and MSNBC already on this program, what I find exhausting is their moralizing, because there's very little coverage on the opiate crisis, for example, in the United States, which is every year more people die related to this opiate crisis than the entire number of American servicemen that died in Vietnam. But I know you hear that sometimes, like with Tucker Carlson, and I think he's great at doing that. But you don't hear about these issues here. And it's because I think that the liberal media is moralizing. They think they're simply better than their political opponents. Certainly they think they're better than the president of the United States. Am I characterizing it fairly? Go ahead, Roger.
Oh, I think you are. But also there's another factor involved here, and that's the ever-popular money. I mean, what these people are trying to do is attract their audience. It's a very specific audience. Even though CNN is failing, MSNBC, which is almost a clone of CNN, is attracting a large audience. They've outwitted CNN at the same thing, because Acosta's kind of a moron. But basically, it's the same game. What's really interesting in the whole White House press corps is who gets to be there in the first place. One of the reasons things like the opioid crisis are not mentioned is the people who are sitting in that room are mostly the same people who've been sitting in the front rows since I first went there to write a screenplay. This is true. Back in the 80s, when I was given access to that room, it was the same ABC, CBS in the same front room. And essentially, it's a cartel. And the cartel dictates what is heard. It's the same as in a lot of countries, as in Russia, too. The only certain companies get a seat at the table.
Okay, Joe, let's now flip to the side of Donald Trump. Now, obviously, when you look at the Acosta-Trump collision course there, it's great for clickbait. It's great for everyone to have opinion upon it. I mean, again, it's very exhausting. But, you know, CNN and Trump, they feed off of each other. Instead of confrontation, it's advantageous for both of them, because there's a good number of viewers out there that just have complete contempt for Trump and, on the other hand, complete contempt for CNN. So it's almost like playing a game here. I mean, Trump really gets a thrill out of saying that about CNN and Acosta, because he knows his base loves it and it will be played over and over and over again. everywhere, including Fox. So, I mean, there is a very symbiotic relationship here. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, the oldest game in Washington is to attack unpopular institutions, right? A Republican used to attack the IRS. You're a Democrat, you would attack a Republican Congress, and so on. It's a mutually beneficial thing with the president and with CNN, for instance, or the media in general. But it's not just his base. In other words, 93% of Republicans feel that the media reports knowingly false information, which is a pretty scary thing. It's no longer biased now. It actually, some people see it as a completely intentional act. But then 79%, and this is an Axios poll, by the way, 79% of independents, 8 in 10 basically, say the same thing. A majority of Democrats say the same thing. So when the president attacks the media, there is no downside to that.
Yep.
In terms of him doing that. But to go back to an earlier point in terms of the same people being in the room, I have a proposal for this, and I'm actually borrowing this partly from Ari Fleischer, who used to be a White House press secretary under George W. Bush and Mike McCurry under President Clinton. And that is, we got to rotate different reporters in there. On one day, have the president White House press corps. Tuesday, bring in business reporters. Thursday or Wednesday, the foreign press. Thursday, maybe bloggers. And then Friday, everybody gets a three-day weekend, or bring back in the White House press corps. I think you get a lot more different questions in there and a lot more questions with substance instead of the sizzle that we're currently seeing.
Charles, that's a very good idea here. But the cartel, and I like how Roger phrases it, the cartel would have nothing to do with it. I mean, NPR and CNN and MSNBC, they will instantly complain. Yeah, well, you know, but again, it's a power struggle right now. I think Jim Acosta should have had his credentials suspended because he misbehaved himself. That's not his house. It is not his venue. But Charles, the liberal media believe it is their right to do exactly that. That is the problem.
Well, I think what we're seeing in the marketplace, and this is an immodest plug for our show, is a move towards opinions that are backed up by sources. In every one of our broadcasts, we provide a slideshow for free with links to the primary sources so you can validate, you know, you can test for yourself whether our views and opinions make any sense, and you can do more work looking at it. There are a number of alternative sites that do that type of work, and I heard one statistic that taken as a group, more and more people are getting their news from such sites via YouTube and other platforms than from the traditional media, because the traditional media is too slow, it's too inaccurate, as you point out, nobody trusts it, and they keep on falling on their face over and over again.
Oh, but then, Roger, I mean, okay, all three of you have suggested that what the liberal media is doing now is not working. But, Roger, why do they keep doing it then? I mean, the statistics are overwhelming, okay? I mean, just look at the ratings. I mean, the Cartoon Channel is doing well in comparison. Go ahead, Roger. Why don't they address this? Go ahead.
I don't think that's entirely true, unfortunately. I wish it were true, because if the Cartoon Channel were winning every time, I think the CNNs of the world would disappear. Unfortunately, I think that Trump has done them all a favor.
Yeah.
I mean, he's giving them all kinds of publicity. And I agree with Joe's proposal. I think it's a great one. And Sean Spicer, when he was the press secretary, was trying to do something sort of like that, but it seems to have gone by the wayside. But, other methods have to be taken, because in reality, like MSNBC is raking in the dough, which CNN isn't as much. But, you know, Fox is obviously making tremendous amounts of money. So it's not, the system isn't rigged yet for real news, unfortunately.
Okay, let me go to Joe before we go to the break here. Fox was mentioned here, and their business model is doing very well. Is it because they have, I'm thinking of like Hannity and Laura Ingraham. I mean, they obviously have a pro-Trump agenda. I mean, it's obvious for anyone to see. But it works. Joe.
Yeah, on the editorial side, they mostly have a pro-Trump agenda. There's plenty of never-Trumpers there, too.
Sure, sure.
I think Fox is somewhat unpredictable in that sense. Like, you don't quite know what Shep Smith or Chris Wallace or Brett Baer, the news side of the organization, they do a solid job. The other two channels, their news organizations have now become, or the news divisions have become opinionized. But the reason why Fox does so well, I wish I had a pie with me. I don't, so I'm going to have to draw a circle here. Okay. Split that pie in half. Fox gets that 50%. CNN decided, let's go after the other half that MSNBC has in terms of liberal, and they get about 20% of that, and MSNBC gets 30%. And that's why they do well, because they have no competition from the right, and CNN decided to give up the middle. So that's basically it, and they just simply have more talent and more compelling personalities on there. It's that simple.
Hold that thought. We're going to go to a short break, gentlemen, and after that short break, we'll continue our discussion on the media in the era of Trump.
You're listening to Weekday World on CPR.
Okay, let me go back to Charles in New York. Much like what Joe does, I watch a lot of media. It gets more and more difficult as we go through this administration. You know, I'm more of an outsider looking in here. But it seems to me that the Democratic Party has MSNBC and CNN as their spokespeople. That's the way it looks from here, okay? And then I would even go further. I get the impression during this midterm cycle that a lot of Democrats watch CNN and MSNBC to get their talking points. It's almost a circular thing, okay? I've never seen such a large group of candidates repeat exactly the same thing, sometimes in order, okay? And I think there's a lot of viewers in the United States that have a big problem with that. Go ahead, Charles.
Yeah, I think it was Joe. I've heard him on television mention that one of the big conundrums right now is trying to figure out what is the true split between among Democrat, Republican, and Independent. I think Democrat-Republican share has fallen a lot and suddenly. So what we see here are Democrat talking points being spewed forth in a coordinated fashion, not just on CNN and MSNBC, but New York Times,
sure,
Wall Street Journal,
sure,
and other
sure,
places,
sure,
and most of the print and radio. So, I mean, instead of focusing right now, not on the Mueller investigation, but on the fact that it seems to me that Democrats are trying to rig not just the election, but the post-election gathering and counting of votes. That seems to be a serious fraud upon the American electorate. We're not spending enough time talking about that, but we have been obsessing for many months about whether Russia, you know, might have purchased some Facebook ads, you know, in a modest quantity that could have had an impact on the 2016 election. Integrity of elections strikes me as a very important issue across the entire political spectrum. We should care that we can know that our votes will be counted properly. And in this high-tech age, we don't have that assurance as it's being played out right before our eyes. That's a serious scandal.
I absolutely agree. You know, Roger, it seems to me another big problem here. You know, I'm a conservative. And all my viewers know that. Okay, so I'm going to criticize CNN and MSNBC probably far more than other television networks. But you know, it seems to me that the cultural war that is being played out. It seems to me that the liberal media is the flag bearer of that, about values, about families, what a family is, what about immigration, the whole transgender debate. I mean, if you look at conservative media and you look at CNN and MSNBC, you see two different cultural worlds there. And it seems to me that CNN really pushes that really hard. Is that a wise move on their part?
Wise move is a hard way to say it because it's what they believe. You know,
That's my point. They project their values. Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, we all do. That's the sad truth. You know, one of the things that's being revealed that's positive about all this, if you pay attention, is this is what journalism always was. I mean, it's written by human beings, and all human beings are biased. Let's face it, I'm more on the conservative side as you are. And I think that there's a lot of silliness and absurdity in the values being projected by CNN. But I'm glad that it's all out in the open now. Because back in the old days, I mean, I'm not a young person anymore. I remember Walter Cronkite. And we all believed him religiously. But it turns out back, you know, if you look back, some of the things he said were dead on wrong and probably purposefully. But in those days, there was no back and forth, really. It was, you know, it was totally dominated by three networks that essentially said the same thing. And now there's a lease dialogue. That's an improvement in a certain way. I'd be interested to see what Joe said about that.
Yeah, well, you know, Joe, the interesting thing here is that, again, when I compare the cable stations, it's really, for me, the issue of omission. What is not discussed? For example, all of this, you know, during the summer with Russiagate, Peter struck Peter, his girlfriend, Lisa Page, Bruce Orr and all that. I mean, looking at MSNBC and CNN, they just glossed over it because the president is attacking the intelligence community. On Fox, well, wow. I mean, if you wanted to get all of the details, they did a damn good job, and really a superb job. We'll see if that continues with the new Congress. But it's really, I see this as the media coverage of omission, of what is not talked about and what is crowded out because of how many scoops of ice cream Donald Trump had. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, yeah, I mean, you look at one of the biggest stories that has been omitted since the president took office, 2017, extending into this year, and that's that 98% of the territory controlled by the ISIS caliphate has been taken back, that caliphate has been eviscerated. You remember, ISIS dominated the news in 2015. It seemed every other week there was some sort of attack going on in Paris, in London, in New York, even more recently. Now you don't really hear much about them anymore. That's not to say they've gone away completely. There's going to be lone wolves, of course, but, I mean, that's a pretty big story. I mean, this ISIS was seen as the next Al-Qaeda, except much more reckless. You don't see any talk about that. And as you said, it's like two different galaxies sometimes when you watch Fox News and CNN and MSNBC, particularly with, and was brought up before, the Florida recount, where I could have predicted even before this happened, as far as the recounts, that CNN and MSNBC would take the side that there's absolutely nothing wrong going on in Broward County in Florida, and that Fox would be pursuing more the story in terms of, is there something going wrong? Who's responsible? And what's going to happen next? So, again, that's one network having a real news division and the other ones just becoming completely opinion and predictable opinion at that. Because you know why they do this? And I'll leave it here because I know you got to go. Fear from their audiences. They all check their Twitter feeds. Every anchor, I've been on many sets, every anchor, every host, when they go to commercial, they check to see what the reaction is. And if it's negative, they don't know how to handle it. So they want to give comfort food to the audiences instead of telling them what they should hear instead of what they want to hear.
That is amazing. That is so true. You know, Charles, one thing also, Donald Trump's a racist. He's a bigot. He's a misogynist. He's a homophobe. Everything. OK. It seems to me that, you know, he's accused. And I am not a big defender of the president. I like some of his policies. Some of them I don't like. And I always call balls and strikes. OK, so let's be clear about that. But, you know, here we have CNN, MSNBC, Washington Post, New York Times, and they bring up the issue of racism. And it seems to me it's the left that is, they are the dog whistle when it comes to these issues. They're always pointing them out. And I find it really remarkable that, you know, okay, Trump said, I am a nationalist. Well, I'm a trained historian, okay? I know what that term means. I know how it can be used. I know how it can be abused, okay? The way Trump said it was perfectly logical, all right? Fine, okay? But the dog whistles come out. I have the impression that people that make these judgment calls have very little knowledge of history, very little knowledge of these civil rights struggles that the United States had to go through and make great achievements, I must say. There are other challenges here, but it seems to me they're very low octane thinkers when it comes to understanding political rhetoric because they interpret it immediately with their own ideological mindset. Go ahead, Charles.
Especially so. I mean, you think about for the last 30, 40 years, mainstream academia, the Harvards, the Yales, et cetera, have been infected by these professors and their supporting cast who I think are ignorant, many of them. So it's not surprising. When you think about the accusation that Donald Trump is a racist, one of the most underreported stories, and I haven't seen recent facts on it, is the degree to which Donald Trump's support among African Americans and minorities has soared since 2016.
Yeah.
You think about across this great country, Democrats are merchants of misery. They want tales of woe so you can then rely on big government. You know, how do the Democrats account for the fact that in inner city after inner city, which they've controlled in many of these blue states, life has been horrible until recently under Donald Trump? African-American minority unemployment is low, and the number of new business startups is high. Confidence is improving. I mean, it's a miracle what he's done, as far as I can tell, in just 2 years. So to call him a racist, when you look at his crowd rallies and he touts those statistics, those crowds are not sitting and, you know, booing when he says African-American unemployment is at its historic low. They're cheering that. So it's a false accusation, in my view.
Roger, you know, I did a program last week, a postmortem of the midterms, and we had a Democratic strategist, and I asked her, you know, what's your takeaway? And she said, well, we got three Hispanic governors, a lesbian senator, and she said the diversity was wonderful. And then I went to the next guest and I said, I thought the country was all about unity, about coming together here. And she had no idea what I was talking about at all. Because I don't care about those attributes. I care about content of character, competence. This is what drives me nuts about the liberal media. Okay? Oh, the caravan. Let's talk about the caravan or the invasion. What about we talk about the legality of crossing the U.S. border illegally? This is simple stuff, guys. Okay? But you don't get that. No. Racist. Racist. That's all you get. Roger, go ahead.
Well, you know, I am an actual real live veteran of the civil rights movement. I was heavily in it. And my best friend from grammar school is a fellow named Andy Goodman, was a fellow named Andy Goodman, who was shot by the Klan. So I was there and did that. I can tell you that what's going on by today's Democratic Party is a betrayal of everything we did. They favor a renewed segregation. We were fighting for integration. And there's nothing more despicable to me in my heart than the current Democratic Party's race politics and identity politics. It is the reverse of what was the real intention of Dr. Martin Luther King. And I it's appalling, actually. And these idiots in the media that continue it are to be shamed forever. I mean, I'm right. Sorry to be so vehement about
this. Let me jump in here. Let me give Joe the last 25 seconds. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay. I think it was brought up before as far as environment and why are so many media organizations liberal? And it's because it's all concentrated in New York and Washington, where I am, in New York, for instance. And when you live in that environment, you suddenly begin to conform to certain ideas and to certain policies and certain perspectives. And I think that's part of the problem, that most of our media, at least nationally, that we see are in areas that probably voted for Hillary Clinton something at a 90-10 rate over Donald Trump. And that's part of the problem as well.
Yep. Almost all the newsrooms on each coasts are exactly the same. All right, gentlemen, that's all the time we have. Many thanks to my guests in New York and in Nashville, and thanks to our viewers for watching us here at RT. See you next time, and remember, Crosstalk rules.
You're listening to Weekday World on CPR, CommunityPublicRadio.org. I'm your host, Don DeBar.